Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Jesse's Fireside Chats. In this episode, we're going to be talking about minimum wages. So, let's get started. So, the minimum wage was one of the many socialistic initiatives that was implemented during the Great Depression. It was established in 1938. And before we get into the main meat of this topic, I would like to say, as a side note, that I think it's really dumb when you have an economy that's already it's already not doing well, it's already in a downturn, and you decide that then is the best time to shoot yourself in the foot economically by passing new regulations and increasing taxes and stuff like that, things that will deliberately slow the economy down, that will make it harder for the economy to bounce back directly by making it harder for businesses to operate and raising the prices of goods and services. And will also indirectly slow the economy down by making people less willing to invest. Or to otherwise move a bunch of money around. Because if, say, you were thinking of starting a new business and the government says you're going to have to stand on one foot while holding a bowling ball on your head, metaphorically speaking, you're probably going to be very hesitant to do that. I mean, opening a business is risky enough as it is because you can't predict, even if you run projections, you can't predict exactly how much you'll make or if you'll break even, if you'll make any profit at all. Because you could think, oh, this sounds like a great idea. People are definitely going to buy it. And then nobody does. Or it turns out that there's already another business doing the same thing and people don't want to switch. You know, there's so many things. This is not an economics podcast per se, but just business is hard enough as it is. It's hard enough as it is in an economic downturn, especially if you have a business like a restaurant or a store that sells, I don't know, higher end clothing or a place that provides services like a salon, you know, things that people tend to cut back on, a travel agency, things that people tend to cut back on when they don't have a lot of money to throw around. And then when the government decides that now, during the middle of that downturn, is the best time to then say, well, you have to pay your employees this much, and you have to pay this percent tax, and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. That seems like the last thing you'd want to do to your private sector as a country when your economy is already down. But I also understand that that tends to be when the appetite for such quote-unquote reforms is the highest. So I understand why people do it. Because a lot of people are very short-sighted. A lot of people think more about the here and now. But when you look at it, when you think in the long run, it's very idiotic timing to do that kind of thing. And then people wonder why it takes so long for the economy to recover. Well, it's because of that. Because of stuff like that. Now let's get into specifically minimum wages. So a minimum wage, for the 12 people that might be unfamiliar with this concept, is it's pretty self-explanatory. It's a floor. It's a floor for wages. It is the lowest amount you can pay an employee. And I can logically understand the intentions. You know, a lot of these progressives, they have a lot of good intentions, and you can logically understand they see a problem and they want to fix it. They just don't always have the best solutions to the problems, especially when you think about the long haul rather than just the short term. And the minimum wage is one of the many cases where that is the case. I can understand wanting to say these people are feeding their families, they're working long hours, they're sometimes working in very dangerous conditions, especially when this was created in the 30s. You know, I can understand that. And especially when you have to consider this was a time when jumping around from industry to industry, company to company, was not nearly as common as it is now. Society was not nearly as mobile then as it is now. So it was common to stay at a job for 30, 40, 50 years, unless something happened to you and you couldn't work anymore or something like that. And like, even after that, like, if you meet older people now who started working in the 60s or 70s, even some of them still did that, where they stayed at the same job for decades. And if not at the same company and then the exact same job, they at least kind of stayed in one field. More of them did. But now, that's not nearly as common. Now it is very common to start a job in one industry when you're a teenager, but then a few years down the road, you're working in a job that has nothing to do with your first job. Completely different field and everything. For example, my first job when I was 16 was in an animal clinic that had a free roaming cat room for adoptable cats. So I worked in that room, and my job was to feed and water the cats and clean out their boxes and sweep and mop the floors and stuff like that. It was basically looking after the cats. Obviously, I won't be doing that the rest of my life, at least on that scale. I do plan to have cats when I'm established. I love cats. But that's not going to be my job for the rest of my life, obviously. And in that job, funny enough, I was making minimum wage. And that's the thing, is now a lot of the conversation around the minimum wage is not as much should we have one or should it be federal, but it's should we raise it? Like, for example, California last year raised the minimum wage for, I think it was fast food workers, they raised it to $20 an hour. Are you kidding me? And you hear a lot of people on the left who will say, well, the people working minimum wage, they need to feed families at home. I will grant that some teenagers might have a job, not just so they have extra pocket money, that they might actually be helping out the family. But the chances are that the case where the teenager is the main breadwinner are probably very uncommon. Even the case where the teenager drops out of school to work to be the breadwinner, I'm sure it happens, but it's not something you hear about every day. A lot of times, those minimum wage jobs are the first job you have. They are and are meant to be the kinds of jobs that you start out in. Washing dishes, sweeping floors, fast food, taking orders at the drive-thru or at the counter. Not looking down on those people. They're great people, and somebody does need to do it. I do not support replacing those jobs with machines, although you will see more of that if you keep raising the minimum wage and making it not financially feasible for businesses to hire humans, because the machines don't have to be paid $20 an hour, although they might ask for at least $20 in tips every hour. I hate that when the iPad asks you for a tip when you're out. I usually just say no thank you, because I'm not tipping a machine. Sorry. But before I get on that soapbox, the thing is, you know, these kinds of jobs are meant to be early jobs. They're not meant to be the job you do for your whole life. And even in those jobs, sometimes employers will pay more than minimum wage, even if the city or the state that the business is in does not raise its minimum wage above the federal level. A lot of those jobs will pay higher than minimum wage, as it is. And we've seen that when places like California or Seattle raise the minimum wage to, you know, $14, $15, $20 an hour, what happens? Well, people get laid off, hours get cut, places go to more automated solutions because the machine, again, is a short-term expense. You don't have to pay it hourly. You just buy it up front, and then it saves money in the longer term. That's, as I said, that's not an endorsement. I'm not saying that everything should go to machines. I don't like the kiosks. They're disgusting, bacteria-ridden, and completely inaccessible. But anyway, again, getting back to the topic, I think that the idea that we need a minimum wage now, even in the 1930s, I don't think it was the best idea, especially, you know, implementing it in the middle of a depression. I don't think that was the best thing, but I can at least understand at that time saying that we needed something like that. But now, I don't think we do. And if we must have one, because a lot of people do think we should, then I would say we should get rid of the federal minimum wage in each state, or better yet, each city and county should set its own minimum wage. Because I know sometimes areas are rural enough that they don't have a city, it's just a county. Or sometimes the cities are subordinate to the county government, or whatever it may be. Because I know you effectively already have that in some cases where states have higher minimum wages, but you still do have a federal one. And the federal one has not budged since 2009. It's been $7.25 since 2009. So, why not just get rid of it? Why not just say, okay, Indiana, you set a minimum wage. Ohio, you set your minimum wage. California will continue to have its minimum wage at $50 an hour. like, that seems like it would make the most sense, because California is not, and should never be, Indiana or Texas or New York. Each state has its own needs, its own population density, its own infrastructure, its own cost of living. And that's why I'd even say that it's better if cities or counties set these than the states. Because, like, for example, New York City is different from what I've heard from people who've been there. New York City is very different from upstate New York. I've never been to New York, any part of New York, but that's what I've heard from everyone who has been there, that upstate New York is a lot more rural than New York City. So if New York City wants to have one minimum wage that's like $30 an hour because everything's expensive there, but upstate New York, counties up there want to have a different minimum wage, then they should be able to. And if say, Indianapolis needs a higher minimum wage than, say, Evansville, or Ohio County, Indiana, which is like the size of a postage stamp, then more power to them. I don't think that it should be the federal government setting those things, because the federal government is incapable of knowing the needs of all of its people and of every jurisdiction, of every city, every county. So the idea that we would expect them to, and that we would expect them to set a minimum wage that works for everyone, is clearly ridiculous. So those are basically my thoughts on this. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this episode, or at least considered it to be informative or food for thought. You can find this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, the RSS feed, Amazon Music, Audible, the iHeartRadio, and Pandora. You can also contact us on X at JFSCPod and on Facebook at Jesse's Fireside Chats. And you can send us an email if you'd like at jessesfiresidechats@gmail.com. That's jessesfiresidechats@gmail.com. We also now have a Ko-fi. So if you want to donate to help support the podcast, we'd love it if you would. Ko-fi is K-O-F-I, by the way. It's ko-fi.com/Jesse's Fireside Chats. No pressure, you don't have to, but if you would like to, that would be great. Thank you so much. Please pass this along to anybody you know that might be interested, and have a blessed day.